stories surrounding that. And I'd like to start off here in John chapter number 12. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to look at three different spots that speaks of the story and pull different things from each of them and tie it all together inside the story. We have here in the story, some people would look at this and say, is it two separate stories or is it the same story? We see Mary of Bethany here is going to be anointing the body of Jesus. And also in the book of Matthew and also the book of Mark, they speak of a lady anointing Jesus. And some people think it's two different stories. I think it's the same one. And you're going to see here that at one point in time it says 6 days. Another point in time it says 2 days. The reasoning for that, is my thought, is that many times, especially in Matthew and Mark, sometimes they're not done in chronological order. Also with the feast day and the feast of the Passover, there's many different days that are involved in that would be called the Passover. So you would sit there, so like I said, I went through, most commentators believe it is because of how close the stories are. It is the exact same story. I would lend to that, and that's how we're going to tell the message and story this morning. If you say, Pastor, I think it's two stories, that's fine. If it's two separate things, then the disciples are really hard-headed, and you're going to see that they should have learned it 6 days beforehand, and if it was only 2 days beforehand, they got the same message and the same story there. They didn't learn it the first time. Sometimes we need to hear things more than once, but this is a beautiful story, and in the thought of the message today is how much do we value Jesus? How much do we value Jesus? And you're going to see, we're going to look in John chapter 12, Matthew 26, and Mark 14. I'm going to bring a couple things of thought there and a couple things for you to notice. And then we're going to talk about those in just a little while as we talk about how much do you value Jesus. So let's look here in John chapter 12. The first thing I want you to remember is in John chapter number 11 is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And in this story, you're going to see that some of the main characters, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And many times people think this is a celebration. This is a dinner of thanks. This is a dinner of just praising the Lord. And during this time, you're going to see Mary come and do some extravagant worship. Let's go ahead and pick up here in John chapter number 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, once again, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And that was just earlier. You can see that just verses earlier when it talked about what happened and the raising the dead, how many believe, how some went and told the religious leaders. We don't have time to go over all that. But they looked to Jesus and they loved Jesus. I believe they're putting on this dinner. I believe it was in the house of Simon the leper. You're going to see here in a little while about this is kind of a worshiping or thankfulness of what Jesus. Now, this is just a few days before Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. Verse number 2. There they made him a supper and Martha served. And we know the story about Mary and Martha. Martha was a person of action. Mary was a person that was contented with learning about Christ. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now this pound of ointment of spikenard is something that people would save for their burial, something that is very, very expensive, something that many times people would have saved their whole life to be able to have this for when they passed. It was very costly, the Bible says. Then it says, anointed the feet of Jesus. So you see here, it says, anointed the feet of Jesus. In Matthew and Mark, it both talked about the head. So I believe it's something that she anointed, you know, different parts of his body. And then he says, and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, to some people, that might seem strange, but back then it was a form of worship. And was something, if a lady's hair was undone or let down, it was something that was inappropriate in a sense, a sign of even that it wasn't, I don't know what the right word is, but it was something that would cause and show how it was something that where she was willing to humble herself by wiping the Savior's feet. This says, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So this praise that was done, this worship was done, was unusual. Sometimes they would anoint the head, sometimes they would anoint the feet, sometimes they would do both, but they would not use such a costly thing. Because of how much Mary valued Jesus, she is doing this as a form of worship, as I believe a thanks for what he did with Lazarus, but more importantly, to anoint his body, because she has listened and she has heard that Jesus say he was going to die and that he was going to rise again. So she was anointing his body for his burial. He said, where do you see that? Well, let's look here. Verse number 4, then save one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. So we know this is the Judas that a few chapters from now is going to betray Jesus. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So he's complaining about what Mary had done. Mary had done something extravagant for the Lord, had done something extravagant for Jesus, believing that he was worthy of it, believing that it was something that was a great act, but it's something that he believed was worthy. Judas doesn't feel the same way. Verse number six. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. So you see in the story here, Judas is the one that was kind of the treasurer for the disciples. And he feels like if this would have been sold, he would have had a chance to have the 300 pence. And 300 pence was a large number. And 300 pence is actually pretty much what a common day laborer would make in an entire year. So you're looking at probably $20,000 of value there at least. And then Judas is saying if she would have sold it, we could have given it to the poor. But Judas has no interest in the poor. Judas has interest in padding his own bank account. He was a thief. Verse number 7, then Jesus said, let her alone. Jesus comes to her defense. He says, against the day of my burying, hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So we see the story that's found there in John chapter number 12. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, and I want to show you a few things there. Same story, but in Matthew chapter 26, it introduces a couple more facts. Matthew chapter 26, and it's wonderful how the Bible intertwines and tells the story and gives us different thoughts from different authors. I don't think it never, ever contradicts itself. But sometimes we have to learn to understand different things and reason things out. In Matthew chapter 26, we're going to go ahead and start verse number 1 to show you what we're talking about a little bit here. Matthew 26, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings. And what sayings? Well, it was the Olivet discourse that he had just done. He had got done preaching quite a bit in the last few days. He said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So this is where you see the 2 days. He's telling his disciples 2 days before it's going to happen, he is going to be crucified. Verse number 3, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So you see here, verse number 5, it speaks, verses 1 and 2 talks about a conversation Jesus had with his disciples. Verses 3, 4, and 5 is the religious leaders. They wanted to put him to death. They said, not on the feast day. The feast day could cause an uproar. But you learn that Jesus actually does die on the feast day, and the reason why is because Jesus is the one in control, not the religious leaders. Verse number 6, now you have another story that's beginning. Now, when, and it's not referring to the saying it's there, but I think it's in a different chronological order here. It's speaking about what Mary does. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now, it did say that Lazarus is there. It did say Martha was serving. Did not say whose house. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. As I mentioned before, I believe it was also on his head and his feet. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying to what purpose is this waste? So here you see, it's not just Judas, but it is the disciples. And if you look back in John, it talked about how Judas was the one and how the disciples agreed. When Jesus understood it, understood what? Understood the disappointment or the outrage of the disciples. When it says in verse number 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she have wrought a good work upon me. Now, Jesus does not condemn her. Instead, he congratulates her. It's something that he sees Mary's heart. He understands Mary's heart. And he is saying, this is a good thing. It says, verse number 11, for you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she have poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman have done, be told for a memorial of me, of her. So you see here, not only is Jesus saying that she should be congratulated in what she's done, but instead that this is something that's going to be talked about for years to come, and that's something we're doing here this morning. Verse number 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? So remember, we saw in verses 3, 4, and 5 how the religious leaders were trying to figure out a way. And here in verse number 15, he is providing the way. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant for him for 30 pieces of silver. One more passage we want to look at is Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter number 14. Now, I know you usually don't go to three different passages, but each of these passages tell us something that's important that I want us to pick up on. Mark chapter number 14, we're only going to look at one verse for sake of time. Very similar story that's found in Matthew 26. Very similar story that's found in also John chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 14, we'll start in verse number 6. We're going to pick up where Jesus is correcting the disciples, correcting specifically Judas. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She have wrought a good work on me. So he calls it a good work. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She have done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go back to Matthew 26 and start off there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to open up your word. Lord, I pray that you give me the words that you once said. I pray that they fall on good ground. Help us all understand the value that we should have for Jesus. Mary here demonstrated how much love and how much value she had there. And Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts as we look ahead in a few weeks, a number of weeks, we have Easter. And Lord, as we consider what happened leading up to Easter, as we consider what happened on the cross and how you victoriously rose again from the grave, help us to understand there is great value in what you did for us. And Lord, and who you are. And Lord, help us to worship you. Help us to grab a hold of what Mary did and want to express the same type of gratitude and worship towards you. Speak to people's hearts today, Lord. Work in their lives. Help us to leave this place not just rejoicing, and the fact that we came to church, or in the fact that it's Sunday, but rejoice in who you are. And as we rejoice in who you are, help us to do what we can. Help us to demonstrate it through a love of actions that will fill the whole room or fill the world with our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first thing I want to make mention of that we saw in Matthew 26 and John chapter 12, who was at dinner? So they were there, they were having dinner, they were invited to a dinner. This was a dinner that was put on for Jesus. So Jesus would have been the one that was the guest of honor. Also, we see at the table, there's Lazarus at the table, who Jesus has raised from the dead. If you look in Matthew 26, and I believe in Mark chapter 14, there's another man named there, Simon the leper. It was actually his house. So I want you to picture this. Jesus is there, and you got Lazarus, who he has raised from the dead, and you got Simon the leper. Now, a person that has leprosy would not be sitting at the table. So he is called Simon the leper because he's someone who has been cleansed from this leprosy. Now, back then, they did not have a cure for leprosy. So I do not think it's wrong. I don't think it's even reaching to say that Simon the leper would have been healed by Jesus or healed by one of his disciples, probably Jesus himself. And as he's thankful for that, he invites Jesus over for dinner. And as he's inviting Jesus over for dinner, he invites also Lazarus. And while he's there, he invites Lazarus' family. He got Martha there who's preparing the meal and who's making the meal. And then you have Mary that comes on the scene. Besides those are the only ones that we know are the invited guests. And John chapter 12 talks about a group of people, a number of people that came just to watch the dinner. Back in Jewish customs and back in Jewish days, this was allowed. You didn't have to feed them. All they could do is come and watch or come and look. Might seem kind of odd to us, but it was something sort of like one of those home shows, you know, showing off your home or showing off your dinner, showing off your meals. They're coming and they're there and they're excited about seeing Lazarus. They've they've heard Lazarus was dead, he was in the grave for 4 days, and that Jesus had lifted him up, and Jesus had raised him up. It wasn't just about Jesus. They were saying he didn't come just to see Jesus. Jesus is the main attraction, but also Lazarus. And now, also we knew that there were some type of religious leaders that were probably there, because they're trying to figure out how to put Lazarus to death and how to put Jesus to death. Martha's there, Martha's busy, and she's cumbered about. So here in this story, you have one man who's been raised from the dead, and you have one man who was healed from leprosy. Now, leprosy was a horrible disease. We don't have time to get into how horrible it was, but it would just eat your flesh away. You would probably rather be dead than be dealing with leprosy and having your body parts falling off you. But you have two men that Jesus had done something supernatural and miraculous in their life, and then you have family members of one of the men. At this time, this would be a celebration. You think about it, this would be a party, and the idea, we love Jesus, we value him, look what he's done for us. He gave us our brother's life back. He gave us the friend back, because as a leopard, you would have to go live in a leopard colony. You couldn't even spend time with your family. You couldn't spend time with people. You would have to be separated. He changed these two people's lives, and as he changed these people's lives, he changed Mary and Martha's life. To show the value that Mary has, Mary loves the Lord. She's been hearing about the teaching of Jesus saying that he's going to die and that he is going to raise again. Even though none of the disciples, excuse me, that's the other group. Now, I thought that was kind of a small dinner party, didn't you? So there's also the 12 disciples that are there. And Martha's there and she's working a lot harder. How much harder is it to work for feeding 4 people versus 16? That's a lot more work. But you got the disciples that are sitting there and you got Mary there. Jesus says something interesting in Matthew chapter 26, where he speaks about how Mary came aforetime to be able to anoint his body for his burial. Look what it says in verse number 12 and chapter number 26 in Matthew. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now, of all the different Bible characters that we are made aware of in the scriptures, there is one who prepared for Jesus's burial. There is one who prepared for Jesus' death and understood and believed it and responded to it. And it was Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany is probably one of my favorite lady Bible characters. There's a few there, but Mary of Bethany, because it seems like she understands what Jesus is going to do. Seems like she understands that Jesus is getting ready to give his life, because he said it earlier to his disciples. Mary is known for sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary is known for listening to Jesus and taking everything in. So Mary comes ahead of time, realizes the blessing that Jesus has been to her brother and has been to her family, and Mary comes and it says anoints his head and also anoints his feet. And once again, this is extravagant. The price of spending $15,000 to $20,000 that we would know of for an ointment that would just last for a short period of time on this man is a sign that she valued him. Not that just she valued him, she thought so highly of him and so greatly of him, and she loved him so much, she did not know any other way to express this love and to express this worship and to express this praise but to give her most valuable possession, to give the most that she could of herself. And she would break this bottle and pour out the ointment on Jesus because she knew that Jesus is getting ready to die. Now, it's kind of interesting, you listen to Judas. Judas says it was a waste. Now, you think about it. Those that went to the tomb that day, that made all those spices and all those ointments and all those things, those ladies that did that, they never got to anoint the body of Jesus. Why is that? Because he had already arose. There is one who got to anoint the body of Jesus before he had died, and she didn't waste her ointment. If anybody wasted the ointment, their stuff, it would have been those ladies that come, because they never listened or never understood that Jesus was going to rise again. Now, I don't fault them. A number of people did not get it. A number of people did not understand it. They had to have their openings, their eyes open, their understanding open. But I want you to see the people sitting at this dinner table. You got Jesus, and you got the one that was raised from the dead. You have the one that was healed from leprosy. And then you have the 12 that have walked with Jesus for the last 3.5 years, who knew, has just been told that Jesus was going to die and Jesus was going to give himself. And I know if you go according to the timeline, that happens a few days later, but he had been told in that a number of times beforehand. And these 12 men knew who Jesus was, listened to the teaching of Jesus, and they were there. Now, there's only one that stops to anoint the body of Christ. There's only one that worships this way. And I'm not picking on Lazarus, and I'm not picking on Simon the leper, and I'm not picking on the 12 disciples yet. But I'm saying that there was one who valued Christ so much that they were willing to face shame, face criticism, and face derogatory comments to express her worship and express her love to the Savior. She was coming to prepare his body for the dying of the cross, for his burial. So the question I thought about throughout the week was, why is Mary worshiping this way and nobody else? Why is Mary the one that's worshiping like this? I don't know about you, I see different people worship in different ways. And you say, well, how do people worship? Well, they do it through their song. And that's how many of us connect that. Oh, how I sing is. But you know what? You can have a heart that's away from the Lord and still sing. It's how you live your life that you show that there's value to Christ. How you give of yourself. How you look at Christ and says, he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy to live my life according to his plan. I value Christ. I value God. And because I value him, I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. That's what true worship is. When we choose, for instance, if you were confronted with a sin, we talked about temptation this morning in Sunday school class. We talked about rethinking temptation. You're confronted with a sin, and your confrontation might be, am I going to steal this piece of candy or am I not going to steal it? You might say, Pastor, well, that nobody's going to steal candy around here. Well, okay. Well, how about, am I going to have this dirty thought or am I going to claim victory? Am I going to do something wrong or am I going to choose to do what's right? And see, when you look at Jesus and you value Jesus and you value your relationship, you see what he's done for you and how he's given you his spirit and how he's given you the ability to overcome sin, you have a choice. Am I going to lie or am I going to? And you say, if you say, I'm not going to tell a lie because I value the Lord and because I love the Lord, you know what you're doing? That's a form of worship. That's a form of saying, I understand who he is, and because I love him, I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint him. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail him. And as we put that in our normal vernacular, as we put that in our normal day of lives, it's an everyday form of worship when we choose to do what's right. When we choose to get up in the morning and read our Bibles because that's what we're supposed to do. Guess what? We're worshiping the Lord because we're choosing to do what pleases him because we value him. We think he's worthy of it. When we choose to pray, when we choose to come to church, when we choose to give, when we choose to witness, when we choose to treat our wives right and treat our husbands right, when we choose to obey our parents, that is all saying, I value Jesus, he is most supreme in my life, and I value him. Now, when I look at Lazarus, and I look at the leopard, and I look at the other 12, and I look at Martha, I'm sure they all value Jesus. I think the reason why most of us, not all of us, came today was because in some way, some shape and form, we see some value in Jesus. We see some value in the Son of God. And because we love him, that's why we sing about him. We don't sing to please Brother Jim. We don't sing to please me. We sing because we value Christ and we value what he means to us. We want to lift our praises up. When we choose to do what's right, we're valuing him. How much do you value him in your life? Because he doesn't mean that much to you if it's really easy for you to sin. Don't get me wrong. Temptation is hard. Sin is difficult. But if it is easy for us to just give over to our flesh and give over to our fleshly nature and our sin nature and to just do what's wrong, we don't value him like we should. And I'm not picking on Lazarus or Simon or the 12 disciples or Martha, but there is one who thought enough of Christ that is recorded in the scriptures, that Jesus says it was a good work, that Jesus said this testimony will carry on for as long as the gospel is preached, that worshiped that way, that valued him that much. This morning, as we're getting ready to go into this study and looking up to the cross, let's prepare our hearts to value him like we should. Because sometimes the stories become so regular to us that we can tell them ourselves, and so many times we come and we're looking for that nugget of truth, that nugget of change. No, we value him and we see him. We lift up Christ week after week and say, look at him. He is worthy to be worshiped. He is worthy to be praised. And Mary sees that. Mary understands that. Mary breaks open this bottle and he pours it all over Jesus because she valued him. So why does she value him more than the other ones? First thing I think about is Mary had spent time with him. If you look in Luke chapter number 10, you don't have to turn there. There's a story there about Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to dinner, and the story says that she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was comforted about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Why is Mary worshiping differently than the rest of them? Why has Mary lifted Jesus up to an exalted status that nobody else has? Why is Mary the one that has understood? And why is Mary the one that's coming to anoint the body of Jesus? It's because she spent time with him. I'm of the persuasion to believe that the more we spend time alone with God, the more we sit at his feet listening, the more that we put into our relationship with God, the greater we are going to be at worship, because we value him. When we give of ourselves and of our time to learn and to grow, and I'm not just talking about facts that are not, that's just a knowledge, but instead a relationship that as we grow closer and closer, we listen to him, we speak to him, we sit at his feet yearning to long to know him better, we're going to value him more. Second thing is, not only does she spend time at his feet, I think she was thankful for what Jesus did. The more that we spend time with him, the greater we understand how wicked we are and how holy he is. The more that we grow nigh unto him, the greater is revealed unto us how much we struggle and how far we are away from him. It amazes me, the closer I get to God, the closer and the more I know about God, the closer and the more things I give over to the Lord, he shows me even greater things that I need to work on even more to come closer and closer. And she valued what he did for Lazarus. If you go to John chapter number 11, where do you see Mary at? You see her at the feet of Jesus. She's saying, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." And he talks to her and he says, "Look, I am the resurrection and life." Something clued into her. She was thankful for the fact that he rose him up from the dead, but something clued in. She was excited about what he was going to do in the future too. She spent time with him. It's the reason why she was worshiping him. She was thankful for what he had done for her personally by raising her brother up. But she also knew and said, he said he's a resurrection and life. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to raise again. And she understood that he was going to rise again. That's why you don't find her at the cross. That's why you don't find her at the tomb, is because I think she knew what was going to happen. She didn't have to be there. I often think that it would have been great that Easter, first Easter resurrection morning, that if there would have been a big crowd there saying, "This tomb's going to be empty." When they rolled that stone away and the angel sat on it, they should have had a big crowd there. All the disciples should have been there. Everybody should have been there, just ready to see what was happening. And it was there, but no one was there except for those that were coming to anoint his body because they thought he was still going to be dead. Mary spent time with him, and that equates to a greater value. As you learn of him, as you grow, I believe your love grows for him. And I'm not talking about some type of ceremonial thing. I'm not talking about some type of just book learning. I'm talking about Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. How many of us take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time in his word and beg God, "Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want to be closer to you. Lord, I want to understand you better. Lord, I hunger, I thirst after your righteousness." That's what Mary does, and Mary desires that. Even though other people are critical, Martha was critical of her. He said, why don't you tell her to come help me? And here you see Judas was. A couple thoughts and we'll be done. Other people do not understand this type of worship. Even good people sometimes don't understand this worship. Judas, and we fought Judas because we knew, he said in John chapter 12, he was a thief. He kept the bag. He wasn't interested in the poor. He goes and he's critical of her. I tell you, when you learn to give your all to the Lord, when you learn to keep him high and lifted up, when you learn to make him supreme in your life, there's going to be some people in your life that look at that and say, "You're wasting your time." There's going to be some people that says, "Hey, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your resources." And the problem with that is there's going to be other people like the 11 disciples that are agreeing with Judas and says, yeah, why didn't she do that? Why didn't she do that? Why is that? Because they didn't understand. They didn't understand what was going on. Mary was worshiping. You know, what would be thought is some people would sit there and look at him and say, wow, that's wonderful. You know, look what Mary is doing for Jesus. What an awesome thing. No. They're sitting there and they're being critical. Judas had the wrong motives. He was interested in getting his hand on the money. And you got to be careful who you're let influencing you. You got to be careful because there's a Judas there who is a deceiver, who is a hypocrite. And if you let that person deceive you and you let that person, you're going to be on the wrong side of somebody that's trying to worship. And you're going to be the one being critical. You need to be careful there when you listen to people sit there and complain about other people's worship. And you, Mary is there. They didn't understand. Remember that. This morning, I'm encouraging you to give yourself over to God. I'm encouraging you to be like Mary and spend time at his feet and get up rejoicing and praising and be willing to lay out everything for him. Be willing to value him like he deserves to be valued. Lift it up high and preeminent in her life, that he has the preeminence. That's what Mary was doing here. And when you do that, there's going to be people who don't understand. Why is that? Judas didn't value Jesus that way. Judas saw Jesus as a way to make fame and power and position. Well, how do you know that? Well, once Jesus corrects Judas and says he had done to my bearing, Judas knew that the kingdom was done. If he's dying, you know, when the kingdom... So what does he do? In Matthew chapter number 26, if you're there, he goes out afterwards and he says to him in verse number 15, he goes to religious leaders, the chief priests. He says, what will you give me? He says, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. He didn't value Jesus like Mary did. He didn't know Jesus like Mary did. He said, if Jesus isn't going to give me what I want, I'm going to go somewhere else. And I'm even willing to betray Jesus. I'm even willing to give Jesus up so I can get what I want. See, those people are never going to understand the Marys of the world because they don't know Jesus. They don't value him. How much do you value him today? Is it the Jesus you serve, the one that you only what you can get out of him? Or is it the Mary that says, hey, maybe I don't understand everything that's going on, but I'm willing to give everything for you and to you? Others who do not value him will look at worship and not understand it. Others who do not value it will tell you that you're wasting time and resources. Mary doesn't care. Mary has her hair down, and the hair represents the glory of the lady according to the Bible. It would not have been something that would normally be unkept. It would have been like a sign of almost shame or that she doesn't care about herself. And that's exactly what she's doing. She's bowing down, she's wiping. She doesn't care what others think. There's no pride involved in this. There's no, hey, look at me, show me. There is one person who values Christ so much, the only way she knows how to worship, she does it. Last but not least, not only do you see people at the table, not only do we ask the question, why is Mary worshiping this way? Not only do we think, hey, other people will not understand, and don't get me wrong, there's some good people that just don't understand. The 11 disciples went to change the world, but I think they learned something from Mary loving Christ that way. And there might be people in your home and it might be people in your family that don't understand why you need to spend more time with them, might not understand why you need to give of this, why you need to serve, and why you need to do all these things, because they don't understand the same way that you do. Continue on worshiping. When you value something, you will do what you can for it. In Mark chapter 14, verse number 8, there's that verse I showed you, just a few verses, but the one. It says, she have done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. I love that phrase. She have done what she could. It's one of my favorite phrases in all the Bible. Say, why? It's because Jesus doesn't expect you to do something you can't. Mary did what she could. And I think if most Christians today would do what they could for him, it would change our world. Many of us are doing what we have to cause other people not to take notice. Some of us are doing some to maybe to justify in our own selves and to maybe make to clear our conscience. Some are doing nothing. But Mary could not change the fact that Jesus was going to die. Peter tried to do that, and that was given to the thought that, get thee behind me, Satan. Was the, you know, you don't, you're not, you're not thinking like I think. You're not being that person. You're not thinking the way you should. You're thinking more like the world. Mary can't do anything to change this, but there is something she can do. She can give Jesus her best. Christian, I want to come across and say, how much do we value him? If there's someone who we value, if we value our relationship, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we can. And not what we want, not what we think we should, but instead we're going to seek what we value and do what we can because of the fact he's our Lord, because of the fact I value him, because of the fact that what he's done for me personally and what he's going to do for me in the future, I value who he is. And no longer am I only going to give a part. No longer am I only going to expect what he can do for me. Instead, I value him and I'm going to give him what I can. You might say, Pastor, I don't have $15,000 or $20,000 just to pour out. You're missing the point then. The point is, that's what Mary's form of worship is. But you know what you can do is you can give your life over to him. You can choose when confronted with getting ticked off and yelling at somebody or treating someone the way that Christ would treat them. You choose to treat them the way Christ would because you value him. You value your relationship. Doesn't matter what that person has done because he's told us to forgive. It doesn't matter when we are told to go up and tell somebody about the gospel. We can choose to say, I value him so much, I'm going to do what he's asked me to do instead of not doing it. Over and over, we make the choice of who we worship. Over and over, we show what we value on how we act. And sometimes we get so stubborn, and sometimes we get so hard-headed, and we think it's just me, and we allow the sin to continue to affect us and affect us and affect us. We're not valuing him like we should. If we valued him like he deserves, we'd be like, I'm not going to do that because it might disappoint him. I'm not going to do that because I want my life to be a testimony of a worship for him. So as we get ready to consider the cross, and we get ready to consider the resurrection, and we get ready to see the trial and the beatings, and we get ready to see all the different things, the betrayals and the gardens in those next 5 weeks, let's ask God to help our hearts to value him the way he deserves. Let's put him preeminent on the throne of our hearts and say, I value you. As we close, you might say, why should I value him so highly? If you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me explain to you why you should value him. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we are all sinners, we are all lost, we are all undone. We are unable to get to God on our own. He even says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not getting to heaven because you're a sinner. You're not getting to heaven by yourself. But God commendeth his love. He proved, he showed his love. That while we were yet sinners, dying and on the way to hell, Christ died for us. He died for us because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He died for us because he loves us. That was his heart motivation. And because he died for us, we have a way of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we have the opportunity to have eternal life because of him. That's great value. Just like Mary valued him because of what she did for Lazarus, we should value him if we know him today because of what he's done for us. He took us off the road to hell and put us on the road to heaven. He has given us an opportunity to have eternal life. And if we put our faith and trust in him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved and on your way to heaven because of him and because of what he did. We should value him. We should love him. And not only that, he offers us grace. He offers us mercy. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his word. He gives us the opportunity to pray. He gives us so much. We should value him. How much do you value him today? If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven because of what he did for us that day. We can go to heaven if we will put our faith and trust in him. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know that and be on your way to heaven. But the crux of the message, the majority of the message is aimed to those that know him already. How much do you love him? How much do you value him? Is there something you wouldn't do for him? Why? It's because we don't value him like we should. If we valued him like we should, you know what would happen? We'd be willing to be broken and spilled out. Be willing to give him everything we have. Give him our best. Not just give him what's left. Give him our best. And it says, if you go in John chapter 12, I believe it's when it talks about how the whole room was filled with his odor. The odor of the ointment. And the odor that is spread out from Mary. And I wonder if we would learn to value him that way, if we would learn to worship him that way, if we learn to make choices day by day, saying, I choose to do the things that Jesus would want me to do, that God would want me to do, because I value him. And as a form of worship, I am putting away the things of old. I am putting away the things of this world. I am putting away the things that is causing me not to value him and not to see him for who he truly is, because I value him. More important to me than anything else. And I choose to live for him. Today, how much do you value Jesus? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.